If you'd like to turn in your Bibles this morning to John chapter 1, John chapter 1, in just a moment we will begin there. And as you're turning there, I'm glad to see you this morning. We have a great crowd, and if you're visiting with us, we hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. And those who regularly worship here, I'm glad to see you as well. It's good to hear the announcements about the Sloans. We're glad that they are with us, as well as the Foxes. I appreciate Kyle leading our singing this morning. We have good song leaders, and I'm glad that he is adding into that lineup. And Cole will be in there, I'm sure, before too long. Cole likes to lead as well, and so we appreciate these fine young men helping us and their wives with us as well, and we're looking forward to working with them. Sherry and I had the opportunity this past week to attend some Bible lessons in Athens, Alabama, on the Gospel of John. And I guess sometimes we call it adult continuing education. That was my adult continuing education. I enjoyed sitting there all week learning from others, and I did learn a lot. And it's good for us to sit at the feet of others. I wanted to tell the ladies, Sherry participated in those lessons. She had a lesson Thursday morning just for the ladies, a ladies' class out of the Gospel of John, and if you would like to hear that, all of those lessons are on YouTube. If you go to Truth Lectures 2024 on YouTube, you can listen to all of those lessons. And she did a great job, and the ladies here may enjoy listening to that lesson. The lesson that I want to bring this morning was not one of the lectures that I heard, but it was an outgrowth of some things that I heard. As we went through the Gospel of John, I was impressed how many times Jesus tried to get people to have a different outlook on life. When he talked with them, they had a physical or earthly outlook on life, and he tried to raise them up and have a different outlook on life. And so this morning, I raise the question, what is your outlook on life? When you get up each day, how do you view that day? How do you approach your day? When you got up this morning, how did you approach what you're going to be doing today, tomorrow, on Monday or Tuesday? You're going to work, and in a few weeks some of you will be going back to school. What is your outlook on life? Paul said in our scripture reading, set your minds on things that are above. Do we get up each day and whatever we're going to do, work or whatever, go to the store, go to Walmart, is it purely earthly thinking, physical thinking? Or do we think about what God wants for me and what I read in the Bible, and I want to go to heaven? Is it purely physical thinking or outlooks? When you go to have a conversation with someone, or when you have to deal with an issue at work, or when you're dealing with family or other kinds of things, is there anything in your mind that is spiritual in nature, or is it just purely physical? I was impressed in going through the Gospel of John how many times Jesus would talk with someone and their minds were on the physical, and he tried to raise them up to get their minds on the spiritual, which is going to save us. There's nothing wrong with thinking about physical things. We live in a physical world and we have to deal with physical things, but is that only our thinking? So this morning we're going to explore our outlook on life. And we're going to learn from Jesus on a number of occasions where he got people to stop thinking about the physical only and to get their minds on the spiritual. And when you open up in the Gospel of John in what we call the prologue, it comes out there. In John chapter 1, if someone were reading this Gospel in the first century or even all the way up to today, and you start reading in the very beginning, you're going to see that not too far into it, John is going to say, you've got to get your minds on the spiritual, not just the physical. Let's look at it. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. This is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, Jesus, was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is deity. The same was in the beginning with God, Genesis 1, verse 1. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that has been made. In Him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it or overcame it not. We just get a few verses in, and John is telling us about spiritual life and spiritual light. Just a few verses in. Verse 6, there came a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist, not the author of the Gospel of John, but John the Baptist. The same came for witness that he might bear witness of the light, Jesus, that all might believe through him. He was not the light. John was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, even the light which lights every man coming into the world. That's Jesus, and it's a spiritual light that is enlightening us. We just get a few verses in, and John is telling us that we've got to be thinking about other than the physical. Verse 10, He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through Him. Verse 3, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and they that were of His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become children of God, even to them that believe on His name. Verse 12, not just physical children in a physical family, but now I need to be a child of God. Now I've got to be thinking about something else other than a physical family. I need to be in God's family. Verse 13, who were born, look at this, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, not of physical birth, nor of the will of man, but of God. I've got to be born of God. And we'll get to that in a minute when we get to chapter 3. I can't just be thinking about a physical birth. I've got to be born of God, a spiritual birth. In this gospel, brethren and friends, Jesus is going to make several contrasts. And as I was listening to these lessons this past week, this is jumping out at me almost on every page, that Jesus is getting people to get their minds off the physical only and onto the spiritual. And that has to do with our outlook on life. So let's look at it this morning. Turn with me to John chapter 2 and let's take a survey of some places where Jesus wanted people to change their outlook. And what's impressive about this is it is literally in every chapter in the middle part of the Gospel of John. We're going to see this in every chapter from chapter 2 to chapter 10. In every chapter, Jesus, it has some interaction in which He's trying to get people to have a different outlook on life. A spiritual, heavenly outlook. And that's our lesson for this morning. When we get up each day, yes, we have to think about physical things. But along with that, we need to make sure that our outlook is heavenly in nature and that it controls everything we do. Another term we use for that is what some people call a worldview. That's just another way of saying an outlook or a perspective, your perspective on life, your outlook on life, your worldview. How are we going to approach just normal, mundane, everyday things? It always needs to be with our mind set on things above. You mean at work? Yes. At school? Yes. Interactions? Walmart? Publix? Yes. There's always this mind set on things that are above that's going to control what comes out of my mouth, how I act, how I think, and so forth. Our outlook on life. Let's look at it. In John chapter 2, when Jesus was going up to the Passover, in chapter 2 and verse 13, and the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and He found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting, and he made a scourge of cords and cast out all of the temple, both the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the changers of money and overthrew their tables. And to them that sold doves, he said, take these things hence or from here, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples reminded that it was written, a quotation from one of the Psalms, zeal for thy house shall eat me up. The Jews therefore answered and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews therefore said, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou raise it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he spake this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. These Jews are thinking about a physical temple. He was talking about the temple of his body. All that they could think of was this physical temple that Herod had been rebuilding and rebuilding up to this point. And I'm just thinking about a physical temple. And he said, one day this temple is going to be destroyed and I will raise it up. The temple of my body. Here's the first interaction that Jesus has with people, and he tries to get them to think there's more than just a physical temple. And this temple, what is a temple? It's a place, going back to the tabernacle, and then Solomon's temple, and then Zerubbabel's temple, it was a place in which God could say, I'm going to commune with my people there. Now Jesus is saying, my body is a temple. What is that? Back in John chapter 1, God dwelt in him. God tabernacled in Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among men, and God is with us in this temple. And he tried to get them to see that. Later, when he was resurrected, the disciples put two and two together. Oh, yeah. Now we've got another temple. We've got another place where God is dwelling, and that is in Jesus. Emmanuel, Matthew chapter 1. God with us. But you can't just be thinking about this physical temple. Turn with me to John chapter 3. When Jesus met with Nicodemus, John chapter 3 and verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came unto him by night and said unto him, Rabbi or teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs or miracles that you do except God be with him. He had already done one in turning water into wine in Cana in chapter 2. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Do you see how Nicodemus is, his view is just purely physical. Okay, how can I go back in my mother's womb? How does that work? How can you be born a second? He's thinking physical. Jesus is going to get him off of that, and he's going to say, no, there is a new birth. There is a spiritual birth. There's another kind of birth. So today, people all over Clarksville, they think all the time about physical births, especially if they're about to have one. There's births up at the hospital, and my friends gave birth at birth. But is anybody thinking about being born again in Clarksville? Is anybody thinking about being born again? That's what's important. You got to get your eyes just off the physical, only onto some other spiritual realities that are going to be necessary for you to go to heaven. Our outlook on life has to be more than just the physical. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water, baptism, and the Spirit, obeying the words of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You're going to have to get your minds off of just the purely physical and get it on to another kind of birth, a new birth, being born again. When you talk to your friends and neighbors, it's all about the physical. Your co-workers, it's just all about the physical. We've got to be different. We've got to have a spiritual, heavenly outlook as we go through this physical life. That which is born of flesh is flesh. There is a physical birth, verse 6. But that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. You've got to get your mind off of this purely physical outlook in life. Verse 8, the wind blows where it will, and you hear the voice thereof, but you know not whence it comes, whether it goes. So everyone that is born of the Spirit, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? That's a great question. How can these things be? Well, it can't be if you're just purely thinking physical. But it can be if you get your mind on these things that I'm telling you, Nicodemus, and that is you must be born of water and spirit. Jesus answered and said, art thou the teacher of Israel and understandest not these things? There were things in the book of Isaiah and in the book of Ezekiel that said that God would come and give man a new heart and a new life and a new law. There's something new that's going to come. And Nicodemus, being a teacher of Israel, should have known those Isaiah passages and those Ezekiel passages. Verily, verily, verse 11, I say unto thee, we speak things which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you receive not our witness. You're going to have to start listening to what I'm saying and paying attention to the spiritual. If I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? I want you to underscore that in your Bible because that's really today's theme. Jesus gets people off of the earthly only onto the heavenly things. Paul said, set your mind on things that are above. Our outlook in life is not just purely, I get up and it's about my body and then I go get in my car and then I go to work and then I come home to my house and it's just all this. I've got to have a mindset that is above and beyond that, the heavenly things. Come with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, Jesus meets what we call the woman at the well. When therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, verse 1, although Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs pass through Samaria. This is a beautiful picture of Jesus going through a place where there would be non-Jews. He could have gone other ways to Galilee. He could have gone on the eastern side or the western side of the Jordan. He could have picked different places. But he wanted to go through Samaria to help people even there. So he cometh to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave unto his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied, showing his humanity, with his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, using the Hebrew time frame, about 12 noon. There comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me who is a Samaritan woman? Parenthetical statement, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. You want to know the answer to that question? Because Jesus is different. Jesus is not your average Jew. He will associate with anyone in order to save them. That's the answer to that question. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that saith to thee, give me to drink, and she will learn later in the story that he is the Messiah and believe that. That's who's talking to her, the Messiah. You would have asked him and he would have given you the living water. She's coming for physical water. She's thinking physical water, physical well, physical water. And he's slowly getting her on to thinking spiritual water, which is a figure for blessings inside of us through Jesus Christ. Living water, spiritual water, heavenly water. Look in verse 12 how her mind is still on the physical. Jesus still has a little work to do with her. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered and said, everyone that drinks of this water, physical water, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up unto eternal life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come all the way here to draw. Well, when you get done with Jesus, you're still going to have to come back and draw some physical water. You're still going to have to come back the next day and draw some physical water. But Jesus will give you that living water. And she becomes a believer, verse 27 and following, and verse 39 and following, others in that location become believers. He took a physical water, a physical situation, and said, I can give you living water that will spring up within you. Turn with me to John chapter 7. We want to include this chapter on this particular matter. This is later when Jesus is at another feast, later in his ministry, the Feast of Tabernacles. John chapter 7 and verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Spiritually, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. Same thing that he had said back in John chapter 4. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The blessings that come from obeying the words of the Spirit, it's like living water in you, refreshing, refreshment. And I'll give it to you. He got her off of the physical water onto thinking about the spiritual blessings that he would provide. Turn with me to John chapter 5, after the healing of the man at Bethesda, the lame man at Bethesda. The Jews end up in a controversy with him. They don't like the fact that he had done this on the Sabbath day. They don't care about the man that was healed. They just care about their perception that Jesus broke the Sabbath. He didn't. But their perception was he did. Verse 19, John 5, 19. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, these Jewish leaders who don't like the fact that he healed this man. Verily I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father doing. For whatsoever things he does, the Son also in like manner does. This goes back to verses 10 through 18, where Jesus was making the point that he's working together with his Father. The Father loves the Son, verse 20, and shows him all things that himself does, and greater works than these will he show him, that he may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead, the physical dead, and gives them life, the Jews would have been aware of different occasions, like in the Old Testament, where there were resurrections from the dead through the ministry of Elijah and Elisha, so forth, things like that. God raises the dead and gives them life. Even so, the Son also gives life, spiritual life, to whom he will. For neither doth the Father judge any man, but he has given all judgment unto the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son, and that's a good side lesson, we've got to obey Jesus, and we've got to obey the gospel. If we don't, we don't honor Jesus. And when we don't honor Jesus, we don't honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father that sent him. Verily I say unto you, now listen to this, he that hears my word and believes him that sent me has eternal life, spiritual life, and comes not into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Now we're moving into spiritual death and spiritual life. When we believe, we're not dead spiritually. That sin is removed. Verily I say unto you, the hour comes and now is. Underscore that in your Bible. I'm about to tell you something that can happen right now. What is that, Jesus? When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live.
That's not the physical dead, that's the spiritual dead. Right now, if you have sin in your life, you are spiritually dead. But if you will believe and obey Jesus, you can have spiritual life. And it starts with baptism into Christ. It washes away our sin. Right now, the dead in sin that hear my voice and obey it will live.
Jesus is saying, you're aware of physical death. And you are aware of some cases in the Old Testament where God raised the physically dead back to life. But I'm here to tell you that there is a spiritual death going on with you people. And if you will hear me and obey me, you will spiritually live. Verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, even so gave he the Son also to have life, spiritual life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. Now we're going to talk about something in the future. The hour comes, he doesn't say. And now is. This is in the future, in which all that are in the tombs, the physically dead, shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Physical resurrection. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. Jesus is saying, you've got to get your minds off of just the physically dead. You know, in Clarksville, there's a lot of people that are, they think a lot about death. They drive by a cemetery, and they think about death. They drive, they attend a funeral, they think about death. They read the obituary in the newspaper, they think about death. But is anybody thinking about spiritual death? Well, I'm not thinking about that. We've got to get our minds not just on the physical, but also realizing there is a spiritual death when sin is in our life. And Jesus says that if you will hear me and obey me, you can live. You can get rid of that sin. He tried to get people off the physical only and to think about other important spiritual things. Turn with me to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, Jesus, in one of the miracles, fed the 5,000. On the next day, the crowd that was the beneficiaries of the feeding of the 5,000. They followed Jesus around the Sea of Galilee. They wanted some more food. So we pick up the reading on John chapter 6 and verse 22. On the morrow, the multitude that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there save one, and that Jesus entered not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples went away alone. Howbeit, there came boats from Tiberias near unto the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And when the multitude therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Now, if you were to stop right there, you would think, boy, these people had a great attitude. They wanted to follow Jesus. But you got to keep reading. You're going to find out that their outlook on life was not what it needed to be. What were they following Jesus for? Well, let's keep reading. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou here? Jesus answered them and said, and he, knowing what's in people's hearts, John chapter 2, he knew what was in man. He knew their motives. He knew why they were doing this. He said to them, verily I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Work not for the food which perishes. Physical food. You have come around the lake and you want some more physical food. This would be like someone today whose mind is always on the physical. I was talking with someone before the service this morning. People do all kinds of stuff on Sunday because they're focused on the physical, but they won't come and worship God. Well, I've got to wash the car, and I've got to cut the grass, and I've got to lay in my lazy boy recliner and watch TV, and I've got to play golf, and I've got to go to the beach, and whatever. We've got to get our minds on the spiritual. These people were working for, they're working. They're coming around the lake again. And he's saying, you guys are working for physical food, but you need to be working for something else. What is that? Well, work not for the food which perishes, but for the food which abides unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him the Father, even God, has sealed.
Yes, he gave them some physical food the day before, but he really wants to come and give them spiritual food. I am the bread of life which comes down out of heaven. And that's the rest of the chapter.
He wanted them to have a spiritual outlook. So, verse 28, they said, therefore unto him, what must we do that we may work the works of God?
Now he's getting them moving in a good direction. Okay, if I'm not just supposed to work for the physical, what do I need to do in working and to please God?
Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what then doest thou for a sign that we may see and believe? What workest thou? They're still thinking, well, maybe the guy will work another miracle that involves food. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, Exodus 16. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus therefore said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, it was not Moses that gave you the bread out of heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread out of heaven.
Underscore that in your Bible. I'm trying to get you, John chapter 4, I'm trying to get you off of physical water to living water. I'm trying to get you off of physical bread to the true bread that comes from heaven. That's Jesus.
Jesus was constantly trying to raise people's perceptions and outlooks and views of life. And that's what we need to do today. They said therefore unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall not hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. And we don't have time this morning to read the rest of that chapter. He explains more about the importance of believing on him. But the sad thing about it is, come down with me to verse 66. Upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Many of those people who rounded the lake, crossed the lake, caught up with Jesus, when he got done with a lesson on discipleship, I am the bread, and you need to be eating me, we're disappointed. We were kind of hoping to get some more bread. And they walked off. They didn't want to change their outlook. They didn't want to change their perspective. And that goes on even to this day. Jesus said to the 12, would you also go away? Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. Yep. He realized we need to stick with Jesus. Turn with me to John chapter 8. Jesus had a confrontation with some Jews during this Feast of Tabernacles. This is the fall of the year. The next spring, about 6 months later, he's going to be put on the cross. So, coming down to the last few months, the last half year or so before going to the cross, he has this confrontation in Jerusalem at one of the feasts. And he's talking with these Jews, and all they can think about is their physical father Abraham. We have this physical lineage.
And that's what they prided themselves in. That's what's going to get them to heaven. I'm a Jew, and Abraham's my ancestor. And Jesus said, wait a minute, you've got sin in your life. This physical ancestry is not going to save you only. God needs to be your father.
And not only that, but you're actually acting like the devil. Who's your father? He's trying to get them off of this thing of just physical lineage. We might say that, well, I'm an American. Okay, well, that's not gonna get you to heaven. Well, I'm an American.
And I'm this, or I'm that. People know about their physical ancestry. I had an uncle that was really big into genealogy, and he traced the Reeves all the way back to the 1700s, a couple of brothers that came from Virginia and settled down near Chattanooga. Okay, well, that's interesting, but it doesn't have anything to do with me going to heaven. And you can trace your ancestry, and you can say, well, I was from this country or that country, and this is who I am, but we need to be a child of God. And so, look at it. Verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews that believed, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered unto him, we are Abraham's seed, and have never yet been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? They just camped out on their physical lineage. Verily, I say unto you, everyone that commits sin is a bondservant of sin, and the bondservant abides not in the house forever. The Son abides forever. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But then they come back. I know that you are Abraham's seed, yet you seek to kill me because my word has not free course in you. I speak these things which I have seen with my Father. You also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said unto him, our father is Abraham. Jesus answered them, if you were Abraham's seed, you would do the works of Abraham, meaning the works of Abraham are the works of obedient faith. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This did not Abraham. You do the works of your father. They said unto him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father. See how they just keep coming back to that physical lineage? Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came forth and I am come forth from God. For neither have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father, it is your will to do. Boy, they didn't like that. Our physical ancestry is what makes us right. No, you need to get sin out of your life, and God needs to be your father. Turn with me to John chapter 9, when Jesus healed the blind man. When Jesus healed the blind man, they didn't like that. And the blind man said, look, this is the man Jesus who healed me. They didn't want to accept that. They get his parents. The parents don't want to speak up and get involved because they're afraid of being cast out of the synagogue. So come down with me to John chapter 9, verse 35. Here, Jesus tries to get them to get their mind off of just physical blindness. He had physically healed a physically blind man, but now I want to tell you folks that there is spiritual blindness going on. Look at John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. They didn't like this guy being around. He's proof that Jesus can work a miracle. They cast him out of the synagogue, and finding him, he said, do you believe on the Son of God? And he, the formerly blind man, answered and said, and who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? And we're going to talk about that some more tonight. Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and he it is that speaks with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment came I into this world, that they that see, they can physically see, but they may not see. And they that are without sight, and that they that see may become blind. For judgment came I into this world, that they that see not may see, and they that see may become blind. These Pharisees could physically see, but they're blind spiritually. They won't come and obey Jesus. The Pharisees are, what? I'm not a blind person. Yes, you are, spiritually speaking. You will not let the light of truth into your heart. And the Pharisees got it. Look at verse 40. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things, and they said unto him, are we also blind? They weren't asking physically blind. They got the point. Are you saying that we're spiritually blind? Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Jesus answered and said, if you were blind, spiritually blind, you would have this humility and this desire to come to know the truth. You would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Here's your pride and your arrogance, and we know it all. Your sin remains. Look at how he took a situation that involved physical blindness, and he tried to teach these folks, you're spiritually blind. And then one last example, and we'll close. In John chapter 10, the well-known Jesus and the shepherd, I'll just briefly mention this so that we can close. Jesus talks about a physical shepherd guiding physical sheep, and they would have known about that. And he said, I am the good shepherd, and you need to be my sheep. And about the December of that year, at the Feast of Dedication, John chapter 10, 22, he brings it up again, verse 26, but you believe not because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them unto me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Y'all are aware of physical shepherds and physical sheep. They were around that a lot in their life. I'm here to tell you, you've got to believe on me, and I am that good shepherd, and you've got to be among that sheep in order to be saved. Well, Jesus, in these examples, tried to change people's outlook. As we close this morning, there are people who get up each day and they think about physical family, but do they ever think about being in the family of God? They get up and they start grooming themselves and they take care of their physical body, but do they ever think about being a part of the body of Christ? There are people that work on their house, and we had to have some things done because of the recent hail damage, and we're working on our physical house, but do we ever think about the importance of being a part of the house of God, the church, the house of God? People, their minds every day, their outlook is just on the physical. Well, what I need to take care of my health, and we do need to take care of our physical health. But what about our spiritual health? In 3 John verse 2, John prays both for physical health and spiritual health. Well, I'm going to go to work tomorrow, my physical work. Well, what about the Lord's work, you see? And I'm going to go to school in the fall, and I'm going to get an education, and I like learning, and I'm pretty smart. Well, what about our spiritual education in the Word of God and obeying it? Well, I'm going to work on being a salutatorian or a valedictorian one day. That's awesome. But what about being a Christian and going to heaven? Well, I'm an American citizen, and we're blessed. But Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven once we wait for a Savior. Is that on our mind any? People, we have a lot of people thinking about taking care of the earth, and that's fine. We look up and see the sky, and we look out on our earth. But what about the new heavens and the new earth? Revelation 21, verse 1. What about going to heaven? We've got to get our minds off the physical only. So the lesson is yours. Jesus told Peter, you are not minding the things of God. You're minding the things of men. We've got to get our minds on what God wants. And we've got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our outlook, our perspective has to be heavenly. And in our scripture reading, we've got to set our minds on things that are far above. Well, the lesson is yours. Jesus tried to get people to change their outlook. Let's go out this morning with a heavenly outlook. Yes, we have to deal from day to day with the physical things of this life, but in our mind, it should always be governed by that which is above, setting our minds on things that are above. And it begins, if you're here this morning, not a child of God, it begins with taking that step to come and put on Christ in baptism. Let us help you to do that. If you're a child of God that needs to come back in some way, let us help you do that. We cannot just go throughout the day which is the physical only. Jesus came and got people off of that onto that which truly matters. Let him do that in our life today. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?